Naughty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got another special episode of Nutty Bites for you. That's right. We're going to be talking about fan stereotypes, and with me today, I have...
Hi, I'm Censored. I mean Tech.
And...
I'm Jen.
And I'm Jason.
From...
Oh, and we're from the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast.
Welcome back, Jen and Jason. I'm so happy to have you guys here again. Listeners may notice that they've heard your voice a couple of times on this show. The Talk Nerdy to Me podcast is basically another one of those shows that it's not quite a sister podcast, but it's definitely in the family there somewhere. And we love having you guys on, so we're always happy to have you come back and join us. And today, our episode is actually inspired by Jason. We're going to be talking about fan stereotypes, and Jason came up with this idea because you just were ranting about being stereotyped, right?
I was. It was funny because I have a commute to work, so I take my gaming headset with me, and I decided to record about what pisses me off when you tell people, oh, I'm an anime fan. And they look at you like, oh, you like tentacles and cat girls, don't you? Oh. And that's like their immediate response. And I'm just like, that is not true. And so I got
well,
me thinking.
It's a little true for you.
Well, yes, it is. Cat girls are adorable. But and tentacles would have made 50 Shades Darker much better. But it got me to thinking, like, what misconceptions do we see in fandoms that we wish we could either kind of nip in the bud, or that just really make us mad, or ways that we could stop those from being propagated?
So before we get into that, I want to pause for just a quick moment, and we're going to thank the patrons. These are the people that are paying for the server costs, and the people that you can thank for giving you two episodes of Nutty Bites a month. So we want to thank, and this came up as a question this week. Very first patron was indeed Shane Poole, number one fan.
Hi, Shane.
Followed by Aaron Jackson, our quality control guy. Thanks, Jax. Thank you to Patrick Scafito. Jen, thank you very much. One of the early patrons. Harold, Ian, Beth, Kinsey, Susanna, Frank, Melissa, Lynette, Susan, Ken, and Jason, our top dollar sponsor. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Daddy.
Am I really the top dollar?
You are the top dollar. You get to wear the special hat. You'll get a badge eventually.
I just get to call him Daddy for the rest of the episode because it's funny and it's true. And
it won't.
And he's keeping the lights on.
And we only have one light on. Oh, no.
And it's not weird at all, is it, Daddy?
It's not weird. Thank you to Mike, Dagny, Rich, Aurora Lee, and I believe our sometimes patron, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick. So thank you to all of those people for supporting us and keeping this one light on and bringing us more episodes a month, which is awesome because it's so much fun to talk about these topics. So we're talking about fan stereotypes, and Jason had this little mini rant about anime and what people think. So I'm going to let you continue on with that, Jason, and go further. What is it that really bothers you about being stereotyped as a tentacle fetishist and cat girl fetishist?
Because honestly, it's not all cat girls. There's boat girls, there's plane girls, there's tank girls. There's so much out there that you could know.
You can do anything to girls once it's anime.
Right. And So the three that he has picked here, wireless listeners, were the three that I railed on in a previous episode, being the three things that worked for me. So thank you for that.
He totally forgot magical girls.
Yeah.
Oh,
magical tank girls. Hello.
Magical girls with long legs and short skirts. Looking at you, Sailor Moon. But no, it's honestly, it's like whenever, like, because I've had so many people look at me and be like, hey, man, I know you're into this anime thing. What would you recommend? And they always follow that up with, and I'm just getting into this, so I don't want to, you know, stay clear of the tentacles and cat girls. And I'm like, Okay, first off, usually my immediate recommendation for anyone who is new to anime and never been in anime before, or who wants to get into anime or has heard about it but doesn't really know what it is, I point you to Ghibli. That's exactly where I point
you. That's a great place to start.
Intro
to Ghibli, by the way. You can follow along with us as we learn Studio Ghibli. Continue.
Indeed. And I tell them, stick away from Isao Takahata until you wish to cut your own heart out. But anything by Miyazaki is good. Anything by Miyazaki.
Which one did great for the Fireflies?
Isao Takahata.
Okay. So we're good. Yeah. Miyazaki is good stuff.
Albeit, I will say this. He did do one movie that actually was not sad. In fact, it was really funny, really lighthearted, and actually a great slice of life. Isao Takahata did a film called My Neighbors of the Yamadas. Mm-hmm. And it's literally just about a family just in their normal day's life, but it's drawn in this style, kind of like a cartoon character, like not cartoon character, but like a kid did it, like crayons and stuff. It's really, really beautiful. It actually cost as much to animate as Spirited Away.
That'll be interesting to watch. So you definitely, I think going with Miyazaki is a good way to start.
This whole idea that anime, the outsiders looking in, they see nothing but the perverted stuff. The other problem that I see, and this is something that hit me in my household as well, is this notion that if it's a cartoon, it's for children.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking about this with some friends of mine, saying, hey, you got to see this movie called Ghost in the Shell. It is the most amazing sci-fi movie. Oh, I like sci-fi. What's it about? Like cybernetic robot girl cop with a gun and her partner going around beating up people, turning invisible. Oh, that sounds awesome. Yeah, there's a giant spider tank at the end. Oh, wait, is this a cartoon? Yeah. Oh, that's for babies. It's not going to be any good.
Yeah, I think that is starting to go away with things like Family Guy and Archer and things of that nature, but it's not gone.
Because even those shows are incredibly immature.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember being at work discussing with a coworker the latest episode of Robot Chicken that we had watched. And this coworker turns to us and says, you guys watch that show? It's like, yeah, we love Robot Chicken. It's like, my 7-year-old watches that. It's like, you let your 7-year-old watch Robot Chicken? He's like, yeah, it's just a cartoon animated with action figures. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like, you need to sit down and watch an episode before you let your 7-year-old see another one.
There's a lot wrong with that.
Yeah, it's... Again, that's also the same stigma with anime. Like, because if they don't think you're like some heinous prepubescent pedophile loving dude, then you are just watching this thing that's for kids. And I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of shows that in anime, most of which are not for kids.
Yeah.
Specifically, there's one that comes to mind. I know Jin liked it a lot. Was Monster, which is actually like a crime, murder, mystery, serial killer thing about a doctor who saves. He chooses to save the life of a child rather than the life of this rich businessman who supported his hospital because they both needed like a heart transplant or something. And he chose to save the kid instead of the doctor, and they took his position in the hospital.
Sophie's Choice is a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they took his position at the hospital and everything like that. And what ends up happening is, spoiler alert, the kid grew up to be a serial killer, and to give back to the guy who saved his life, he starts murdering everyone above him in the chain of command.
Oh, nice. Jeez. Yeah.
He gets a promotion out of it, though.
So... there are definitely the stereotypes out there about anime. And yeah, there is a lot of that. And yeah, there are people that watch it for less than pure reasons. But it's an entire medium. And just because you like anime does not mean you like what that stereotype is about. So many different things there.
Well, yeah. And, you know, people say, well, all the sexualize this and sexualize that. Well, you know what else does it? And they just kind of ignore it. Western television, man.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Supernatural. Let's get two underwear models doing vaguely homosexual things and get the girls riled up. Because if they weren't brothers, we know they'd be freaking.
A nice catch. Just look at Looney Tunes. I mean, how inappropriate is Looney Tunes? The, I mean, the Pepe Le Pew thing.
Pepe Le Pew's a rapist.
Anytime Bugs puts on a female outfit, suddenly these men can't control themselves. Exactly. I mean, there's so many outdated. I mean, yeah, they're old cartoons, but I mean these things going on in Western cartoons that people are like, oh, but that's totally okay because I grew up with it. Yeah, people grew up with anime too.
It's to the outsider looking in, there only seems to be two levels of anime. It's either My Little Pony or it's a full-on, you know, tentacle monsters.
You know, and speaking of anime, and because, you know, anime is a very big medium that has spawned a lot of cosplayers. And that's another trope that I cannot stand, is that the only reason girls cosplay is because, oh, look at those scantily clad outfits, or they're obviously just these loose, terrible women because they dress up as these characters.
They think that because you're dressing up like a character, you know, it's that whole cosplay does not equal consent thing. They think, oh, she's dressing up like a character because she wants me to look at her. She wants me to do this to her. She wants me to touch her. No. She's dressed up like that character because she loves that character. And the thing that's really interesting about cosplay, that we're not costuming, we're cosplaying. There is a difference. Costuming is putting on a costume and trying to look completely accurate. Cosplay, it's you're wearing the costume, but you're also kind of embodying the character. Like when I'm in a costume at a convention, I will have a pose picked out. I'll say things. I'll act in the way of the character. And sometimes I'll do mashups or I'll change things around. It's because they love the characters, not because they want you ogling them, not because they want you staring at their chest, and definitely not because they want you to touch them. They really don't want you to touch them. No matter how many times you think that, they do not want you to touch them.
And it also falls into that whole thing, like when you go to conventions and you go to like major conventions, kind of like Anime Expo, or and they've got the booth girls, and they think, oh, well, obviously they're there for, you know, that's because that's all anime is about, or that's what all that thing is about. Dude, they've been using booth girls for decades. I mean, come on, even back in Star Trek conventions and things, they would have girls dressed up in those early Starfleet uniforms that have the skirts and things, like Uhura wore. But you know what I'm saying? But because they're not dressed up like this Japanese cartoon, it's cool. It's fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I got another stereotype that I'd like to bring up while we're talking about fan stereotypes. That this stereotype, this idea that all sports fans are unintelligent.
Okay. Yep.
The idiot jock is the guy in the football jersey, screaming at people, and it's especially bad for fight fans, especially for MMA fans, where if you say that you're a fan of the UFC, it's like your closet is nothing but like Tap Out and Affliction gear, and you use bruh as a suffix at the end of all of your sentences.
Wait, but don't you?
Yeah, shut up, bro. And just that you are a completely uninformed and unintelligent person. But, you know, there's a meme I saw going around, you know, as football season starts and the guys start getting their fantasy football things in line. If you look at the rules and the levels of complexity involved in these various fantasy sports leagues,
It's
D&D for jocks is what it is. It's, you know, I wear a shirt of Dwarven Mithril, you wear a Peyton Manning jersey. It's the same thing.
They're running spreadsheets. They're doing math. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's D&D for jocks. And
they need is dice.
Right. And, yeah, a randomizing element. And
you mean the game?
Yeah, the game takes care of the dice rolling. But these guys and girls are no smarter, no dumber than the rest of us. They just have a little bit of a different ilk. Unless you're a Maple Leafs fan, and then you are just silly because they haven't won a thing since 1967. But
But that means you have heart.
Go Habs, go.
And you are not a fair weather fan.
And loyalty.
Yeah.
It's and like I those say this, those three people that go to Cleveland Brown games.
Yeah.
Those are some diehard fans.
You mean the same three dudes that are in the dog pound, as they call it?
Absolutely.
And I say this not as a Leafs fan, because no, Islanders. But I say this as a Met fan, because being a Mets fan when the Yankees were winning, it's hard. But that's how you know you're a good fan.
I'm just saying, hey, y'all got close. The Cubs just didn't let it happen.
Hey, and it was really easy to say I was a Ferrari fan when Schumi was winning everything in Formula One, and now that Ferrari has not been doing so stellar the last couple of seasons, and with all the rule changes happening next year, it's a big coin toss again. We know what's going to happen. I'm still very proud to call myself a Tifosi, but I'm always struck with this idea that everybody thinks that jocks are stupid and that sports fans are idiots, and they are definitely not.
No, absolutely. They're just as nerdy as the rest of us, except they hide behind beer jerseys and talks of touchdowns and running backs and receivers and quarterback ratings and such like that. Right.
So if
we hide ours behind beer and cosplay and
percentiles,
books and
right. So if the halftime show involved the tentacle monster coming out and attacking the cheerleaders, maybe we could finally reunite the otaku and the jocks and everybody would get along.
Well, if that's the case, then they need to watch Eight Man After Perfect about a cyborg police officer who wigs out because he takes robo steroids and he jumps onto a field of robo football players who went berserk because of robot steroids, and he literally starts murdering them by using his blade fist to cut them in half.
Eight Man, that's an old series, isn't it?
Yes, it started out as a black and white TV show from the early like 60s and 70s called Tobor the Ape Man, and then they made a modern day redoing of it in the 80s now, After Perfect.
Excuse my memory, but it's got an art style very similar to GoGo 13, doesn't it?
Early GoGo 13, yes. Not the new GoGo 13, though.
I didn't know there was a new one.
Oh, yeah, there's a modern day one with a CGI helicopter part of the introduction. That's terrible. I'm talking about early, like 90s, like 90, like 91, 92 CGI.
So one thing I want to mention here is there's also a stereotype that geeks don't like sports. And we've already proven just in our conversation that that's not true. There's actually a lot of geeks that like sports as well. And Scott Sigler's GFL series, The Rookie, has shown that there are like huge football fans that love sci-fi.
Scott Sigler himself. I mean, look at that man. I feel bad for him because those Lions, man, they tried. They tried damn hard this year.
Speaking of diehard fans, and the other thing, with that point, Nutty, you can go the exact opposite. There's a lot of jocks out there that like nerdy things.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the things I thought about when I was doing this today was like one of the ways to try to mitigate this. And I think is we got to curb our passion, because if you look at nerddom fandoms or football, especially sports, actually, they are super passionate about their team, right? I mean, I'll just take Star Trek. They are so passionate, they split their own fandom in the middle. There's a declination between a Star Trek fan or a Trekkie or a Trekker. As it was called.
There's Trekkies, there's Trekkers, and there's Trek fans. And to Trekkies, we're all Trekkies. You just haven't admitted it yet.
Yeah, see?
I'm not for curbing my passions. I am for including more people in my passions.
Right, that's what he's talking about. I think that's the point Jason's making. Because I'm going to tell you what you're thinking about, and you're going to like it.
He's explaining.
I'm text-planning this completely, because there's nothing worse than seeing a bunch of guys talking about football and wanting to get involved in the conversation as a guy who's just getting into the sport and just starting to understand things. And they're like, who are you following? I say, you know what? I got to go for the underdog. I really like the – I know he train wrecked it a couple of years ago, but, watching Johnny Manziel with those first couple of games of the Cleveland Browns, it's like, you know what? I got to support the Cleveland – Cleveland, you're an idiot. You don't know anything. and you stop talking if you don't support the same team that we do. It's like, well, it's really easy for you guys to support the Patriots. They're winning. It's like, when you guys, weren't you guys all Detroit Red Wings fans when they were winning everything? When they bought the Stanley Cup 5 years in a row with the Russians? Oh, you can't say anything. And just.
Yeah, it's yeah. like, it's, you know, it's like, to, it's like people forget that most things in life are not mutually exclusive. Yeah. So you can be a jock and a nerd and love sports, but, you know, not like Star Trek. You know, there's, you know, I was, you know, I talk about it. I talked about it again when I was,
I don't know how you don't love Star Trek.
I do like Star Trek. Although I will say this, those two seasons or three seasons or whatever it was of the original series, man, those first few episodes of that first season, holy cow, are they rough. I just, whew,
they're
the
awesome.
Cage. The cage, that pilot,
but
the cage.
Spock's brain. I mean, come on.
No. We don't talk about this show. The I think what we need is a spirit of inclusion.
Yes.
And that, you know what? Okay, so I love Star Trek. I really do. But there are some series that I love a lot more than others. I am not a big fan of Enterprise and Voyager. But if somebody tells me, Brad, I'm looking directly at you, decides to tell me that Voyager is his favorite because Janeway is the best captain ever in the fleet, I am not going to shun him like I'm not
like
gonna...
a certain person in this room did, where she did the Klingon disavow.
Right, where you completely disavowed him for saying you liked it. But you did it out of jest. Like, we're yes. not going to stop talking to this guy and treat him like an idiot because he doesn't like the same subsect of the genre that we do.
And he's not going to kick us from a guild because they said that Janeway is the worst Starfleet captain ever. That's Ian. Right. Not Patreon Ian. Different Ian.
Right.
Well, you
right.
know,
also
you know,
done
Janeway
in jest.
Put yeah. the ship in danger just to get energy to make tea with the replicator. She's a terrible captain. I mean, women drivers, right?
Mm. Oh my god!
Right. Send all your hate mail immediately to TalkNerdyToMePodcast
@gmail.com. But yeah, no, definitely. We need to be more inclusive. I mean, because there's nothing worse than excluding somebody who loves the same thing you do. They just love it differently. And it, you know, when I say I don't know how you can't love Star Trek, no, that's not true. I totally get it, because guess what, not everything is somebody's thing. And I hate this idea of you need to turn in your geek card if you don't like X, Y, or Z. No, hey, there is no geek card.
Hey, spoiler alert for all you video game fans out there, I haven't played a single minute of Mass Effect. None of them. Oh, also, for you lovers of a certain show on HBO with a guy who came back from the dead by the name of Snow, I've never watched a single episode of Game of Thrones either.
That's okay. I watched it, and I read all the books for you.
I'm pretty sure there's like 1,000 billion more people that did that too.
And
no, just me. I'm the only one.
And you know what? And you know what? You're missing out by not playing Mass Effect, because it is probably, let's go ahead and say it is probably the best series of sci-fi games I've ever played in my life, and has got an incredible universe behind it. But if it's not your thing, it's not your thing.
Exactly.
Well, it's not even that. It's not my thing. It's just literally, I've just not got around to playing it. Like, right. I've literally just not gotten around to it. Like, the worst thing.
It is kind of daunting now, because, you know, you're looking at close to 300 hours to play through all three games.
Yeah, and I've got Tales of Berseria to play, For Honor. I've got Resident Evil 7. I've got Digimon World New Order. I've got I'm pretty sure I've increased my backlog of video games by tenfold.
See, and I don't shun you for playing the Resident Evil movies. That's what we're talking about. It's all about inclusion.
That's a Resident Evil game. They are better than those craptastic movies. The best thing, the best thing Mila Jovovich ever did was Lilo Dallas Multipass.
Incorrect. Mm. Joan of Arc, The Messenger.
I'll take Lilo Dallas Multipass any day. Her and a young strapping Bruce Willis in that glass case at the end of that movie. I'm down. I'm all for that. That is a better
young strapping.
That is a better
in plate mail on horseback holding a banner. All those who love me, follow me. I would follow you to hell and back, Joan.
But yeah, it's Mila Jovovich. You've not done really thing any good.
So I've got another stereotype that
Mila, if you're listening, and I know you're listening, please send me some messages. We love you.
So another fan stereotype that I want to get rid of, and I really want to get rid of this, is the fake geek girl. It's not real. It doesn't exist. Why would anyone fake this?
Dude, what's really sad is that one of my friends, her name's Shantina, she's actually the store manager of a thing called G2K. It's a gaming comic book. It's like the small branded version of GameStop, basically, except they have like comics and things. And she's the literal store manager. She's the boss of all the men in that store. And I would wager that she knows more about anything they have to ask. But I've watched them walk past her to ask another person that is not a woman.
Of course. Because you need testicles to understand this. So
along with that, and that is a huge problem, but along with the fake geeks, we have to get rid of this idea. We have to get rid of this thing where somehow there's a time limit to or there's an expiry date on when you can become a fan of something. Mm. And that if you joined after a certain date, you're no longer eligible.
Oh, you started listening to Abney Park after they found steampunk?
Right.
You're not a real Abney Park fan.
Or, you only started reading Guardians of the Galaxy after the movie came out? Well, then you're not a real fan, and you should leave the comic store right now.
No one read Guardians of the Galaxy before the movie came out.
Yeah. You know what all those people who say that can do? Can go take their heads and put it right in that rectal area that is on the back end of them.
I love how he's working to not use the... I'm applauding your effort here, Jason.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy was a hot, steaming, diarrheal pile of poo before the movies came out. No one gave two flying kicks for Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm sorry. They did not care. No one cared about Star-Lord. No one cared about the fact that his dad is an intercosmic being. No one cared about Drax. No one even knew what Groot or a Rocket Raccoon was.
But the fact that you have a person new to the genre who's like, I haven't read many comic books. I saw this movie. I enjoyed it. I want to know more. I want to read.
Would you like to know more?
These steaming piles of comic books now, and I will give my cash money to do so. And you are going to say there, you are not allowed to support my genre and help its growth and pay the writers so that they write more of the stuff that we love because you don't love it as much as I do. So stop spending your money in this establishment. Says a customer of the establishment and not the management.
Not the management.
Meanwhile, the manager's like, dude, nobody bought comics in the last 4 days. Could you shut up and go away and let this person buy some comics?
Your pull list is not enough to pay the rent.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, and this was quite a while ago, so some people say, oh, it's not like that now. It's still like that in some places. But I do remember years ago, I'm in a comic book shop in New York, and I'm looking around, and I said, do you have any news on when the next Kevin Smith Batman's going to come out? And, you know, this is after being completely ignored, having the staff not look at me, and when I tried to get their attention and tried talking to them, they continued to not look at me when they responded, I guess, what do you want? And I said, you know, any news on this next Batman issue, blah, blah, blah. What do you mean Kevin Smith is writing Batman? Okay, dude, there are two issues over there right now. I've read them both. I'm waiting for the third. Spoiler alert, he never wrote it. Thanks a lot, Kevin Smith. But, I mean,
there's... had to make yoga hosers. Come on.
But that's the thing. There's so many instances that people have experienced this thing, and I should not have to pass a test to be considered a real fan in your eyes. Just get over it. And I'm so done with that stereotype. I just, if I never see that stereotype of fake geek or new to the genre fan, I would be a happy person. So, Jen, do you have any stereotypes you want to talk about?
Doctor Who is one that annoys me a lot because there's a whole bunch of older people that grew up with the classics that say that people who just started on the newer Doctors don't really like Doctor Who. They're just going after pretty boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm sorry. Matt Smith is not a pretty boy. But yeah, continue.
No, but that was a problem even in the old series because Tom Baker was hot.
Oh, he was dreamy.
Well, my thing is, my thing about that whole thing is, you know what? Like, I'm sorry for you three people who caught it on PBS when they were like stealing broadcasts from like burnt tapes from around the world from the BBC. I wasn't even born yet. So, you know what? Bite me.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's and this happens a lot. You've got the old fans and they're saying, oh, you know what's wrong with Doctor Who? It's all these new fans. Guess what? Without these new fans, you wouldn't have any new Doctor Who because there wouldn't be enough people to watch the show.
You know what? Exactly. If you no, go ahead.
I just said exactly.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you need to know the state and of the BBC when they did the shutdown or after the shutdown, just check out Devo Spice's album, I Am the Doctor, because there's a wonderful song in there that talks about how they started cutting the budget of that show. And it was like he was fighting cardboard cutouts in some episodes. You know, yeah, that's what you older fans got that show, a cut budget and then canceled.
Yeah. And the thing is, if it was just about pretty guys, there's a million other shows we could watch. There are so many teen dramas and other shows with very pretty boys. And you were about to say, I'm looking at you, Supernatural, whatever.
No. I was going to say, you're talking about pretty boys. I'm talking about a pretty man. I'm looking at you, Luther, Idris Elba.
Oh, my God, yes. But there's so many other things that you could watch just for somebody being pretty. If that's all it was, that wouldn't be enough to sustain Doctor Who. It's like when people are like, oh, you only like the new Sherlock show because Benedict Cumberbund is so dreamy. Cucumber. He's so dreamy. And it's like, he's not dreamy. People think he's dreamy because he plays Sherlock.
People did not think
that David Tennant was dreamy when he was doing all of that comedy. They're like, what's with that weird looking Scotsman? But because he was Dr. Ten, they became infatuated with him.
Like, I will take the Watson over in the Sherlock show over Sherlock himself any day. That is a distinguished young man.
Martin Freeman is definitely more attractive, even though he's still pretty funny looking.
Yeah, that nose.
Yeah. I mean, like, look at him in The Office and you go, wow, that's Martin Freeman.
Oh, that's right. He was in The Office.
Yeah.
You know, and I was sitting here thinking, you know, it's one of the things, you know, we could talk about curbing our passion for it. But I also think that when we try to encourage people to, you know, join our fandoms, I think we need to remember who we're talking to, because sometimes you can't recommend to people, oh man, like, I love Cowboy Bebop and I recommend it to Jen. She hates Cowboy Bebop. Spoiler alert. She doesn't like it. And, but then I also had her watch Hellsing and Death Note and she loves those. And, you know, those fit into those weird, you know, kind of Tim Burton esque, like bizarre, strange, you know, ethereal play things. I mean, come on. Death Note's about a kid who finds the scythe of a death god, or in this case it's a notebook where he writes down people's true names and says, you have a heart attack at 3, and they have a heart attack at 3 and die, and he uses that to literally take over Japan by killing all the criminals.
So basically what you're saying is, when you want to get somebody involved in a fandom, find out what they're already passionate about and find something that correlates well to that. So, like, if you like Nightmare Before Christmas, you might like Death Note.
Yeah, if you like bizarre, dark, black comedy type things that are kind of, you know, of another world, yeah, absolutely.
If you like cooking, you might like Shogakukan no Soma.
Exactly.
Oh, man, I want to make one of those bacon-wrapped baked potatoes that he did that tastes like pork from the first episode. I want to make one of those so bad. Or if you're one of those young ladies or young men who love yaoi and J-pop bands, you know what would be a great video game for you? The homosexual road trip simulator known as Final Fantasy 15.
Hey!
It's a great game.
But don't try to deny it. It is a homosexual road trip simulator.
It's there are some undertones there. I cannot deny it. That there's a couple of scenes that are very definitely have erotic undertones, but it was, what if the main party of a Final Fantasy game was a J-pop band?
Well, you know, and it's not necessarily homosexual. I mean, it could be bisexual. What, why you gotta be so binary?
What really gets
they
me?
They don't pay attention not to nay female in that game. But what? Not one.
Yeah, and the one girl that is completely fawning all over Noctis the entire game is like the other dude's little sister, and he just ignores her the whole time.
Yeah,
it's almost like we're on a real date, isn't it, Noctis? No, it isn't. No, go away. Stop looking at me.
Yeah, and then Sid's niece, she's like cleavaged out and she's Daisy Duke of the Final Fantasy world, yeah. And they don't even bat an eyelash.
That's true.
They don't even bat an eyelash. They're talking about the pictures. What's his name's taken? Like, they don't care.
What really got me about that game, what I found to be the weirdest thing that didn't belong, was the odd sponsorship.
And Coleman's.
Yeah, they're sponsored by Coleman. So, like, when you see them camping, they're Coleman branded tents and chairs, and they're on a two burner stove, and they're using all of this, like, real, actual branded Coleman gear.
And I love it when, it's put it this way, Gladiolus and, what's the one with the glasses name? Oh, man.
There's the Pete, isn't it?
Yeah, they're mommy and daddy, and then Noctis and the one who takes the pictures.
The little pretty boy.
Something with a P.
Yeah. They're the kids. Yeah. Like, that's the big brother.
That's a little incestuous. No.
But it's but it's so true.
Yeah, but they're totally going to hook up. So, yeah. So
and then Tom Baker, the supervillain there, the evil chancellor, the shirtless Tom Baker going around making all of these grandiose Shakespearean speeches.
And you're just like, put a shirt on, dude. just how can you stand there and be like, I will control the world, blah, blah, blah. Put a shirt on, man.
So
go ahead.
No, go.
Oh, I was just going to make a reference to Gurren Lagann and Nudist Beach, the revolutionary group that the leader just never kept his clothes on.
So
you need to watch it.
Another stereotype that I really want to get away from is equating somebody's worth with how often they have intercourse. We've all heard it. Oh, man, that guy's never going to have sex. Or that's the opinion of someone who's never had sex in their life. Okay, one, why does that matter? That doesn't change the opinion. And two, why? I don't understand.
Yeah, that wealth, fandoms, and sexual performance or prowess are all inextricably linked. I remember being on the side of a road completely losing my mind as this beautiful red Ferrari 458 drew by. The first time I saw one of the new 458s. And I happened to be wearing my Ferrari hat at the time. So I'm fangirling all over this car. Yeah, exactly. Oh my god, it's an actual 458 Italia in the proper shade of red. Oh my god, I'm losing it. And there's a girl behind me just angrily going, oh, I bet that guy's got very small genitalia. You have to drive a car like that. Really? Show me in the engineering diagrams where they designed the seat that only fit with
about
small genitalia.
Yeah,
it's weight distribution, right? The only reason a person would ever buy a really cool sports car is to make up for some sort of sexual inadequacy. Well, if that's what you need to make yourself feel better, you know, go ahead. Or that any anime fan or anybody who vehemently defends their genre from an attack. So, could you imagine? Oh, man, too bad that doesn't happen in the sports world. Could you imagine that? Some guy talking about, oh, man, Floyd Mayweather's my favorite boxer. He's the greatest boxer in the world. Pfft, only a virgin would say that.
Well, they say that to wrestling fans.
Well, yeah. Wrestling's fake.
And that's the thing. It's like, I forget what this is from, but it's like, well, don't you remember from Lord of the Rings? What? I didn't read Lord of the Rings. Oh, you didn't read Lord of the Rings in high school? No, I had sex in high school. What, you can't do both?
I'm pretty sure there's lots of people that did do both in copious quantities.
I'm pretty sure there's people doing both right now at this very moment. There is a Lord of the Rings convention going on this weekend.
Okay, if you are reading Lord of the Rings in high school, please do not have sex in the high school at the same time as you are reading Lord of the Rings. There's probably a couple of rules against that.
If you do, wear
protection. But I'm just going to say, if you're going to do it, talk to each other in Elvish. So when the teachers get up there, you can talk to them in Elvish. It's going to be great.
That's hot.
Right. By the way, to everyone listening, the One Ring goes on your finger, not anywhere else, okay?
Okay. We're getting a little close to danger zone here. So that's the thing that drives me crazy. And it's like, for some reason, your self-worth has to be tied to sexual prowess. And okay, not everybody's going to want to do all that. Well, and some people will, and it doesn't matter. You, as long as you're having as much or as little as you would like to have, that's fine.
My thing is, Revenge of the Nerds told us, jocks, all they think about is sports. Nerds, all we think about is sex. That's why we're the greatest lovers. It's Revenge of the Nerds, man.
Revenge of the Nerds taught us that nerds rape people. So let's not bring that up as an example.
Well, hold on. Technically, he was technically saying he was Darth Vader and he used the Force.
No, it was rape.
It was, and they totally made people laugh at it. That's the only awkward part about that movie. God, don't ruin that movie. It's so good.
Don't watch it now. Don't watch it today. You're going to get so mad. Trust me.
No. Oh, God, I know. I'm just... Lamar is all I got to say. Revenge of the Nerds.
You know what?
Amazing.
Watch the Futurama episode where Bender goes to college. You'll get all the cool jokes without any of the rape, and it's robots, so it's
Robot
cool.
House.
Robot House.
Yeah, it's a mix up of Animal House and Revenge of the Nerds, and it's amazing because Bender is the Belushi and Booger all rolled into one.
Right, exactly. And then the fat nerd bot ends up going to Tijuana to lose his virginity, and ends up downloading a virus and has to get rebooted.
Yeah.
But somehow, the biggest stereotype that anybody who's into any of the geek genres is only into them because we couldn't get our chosen sexual partner in school, and because I couldn't get a date, I therefore got into Star Trek. And I am a pitiful, sexless virgin who will die as such because I happen to like World of Warcraft and anime and World War II airplanes and war history and all of these other things. So to which point I have to say, hey, Nutty, how's the sex?
It's pretty good, can't awesome. Tell you. And as somebody who married her DM, I can tell you, and not my... You know, my sometimes DM. That may sound kinky to some people.
It's me,
Dungeon Master.
Dungeon Master.
He's the one that runs the game.
Not in the 50 Shades of Grey dungeon.
Wait, that does sound weird.
I mean, I was going to say, isn't that what they called Steven Seagal in that whole...
No. But that's the thing. Like, I have told many geeks, if you want to be happy in a relationship, find another geek. Find somebody who's passionate about the things that you are passionate about. I'm at tech role-playing, and it's the best relationship I've ever had, and I couldn't imagine anything else, but it's the best way to meet somebody who's going to love what you love. There's nothing worse than being in a relationship with somebody who's not as geeky as you are. I mean, I'm sure there are worse things, but for me, it was always like I had to justify what I was passionate about, and I never have to do that. I can go completely geeky about things that he doesn't even care about. And I don't feel judged because he'll go completely geeky about things I don't care about. And we love each other and respect one another no matter what.
Except if it's airplanes, because then she'll just read texts on her phone.
I still respect you.
Yeah, well, you can still respect me, but...
And I respect you in the morning after that amazing sex, which apparently is the only thing that makes us valuable or worthwhile or makes our lifestyle worth any darn, according to this stereotype, that we can all get rid of because... Sex does not equal anything.
Except sex.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, it's
and hooray.
I mean, no, I mean, haven't you figured it out? Where sex is going to become a currency. It's going to become
sex. Sex should not be a currency.
It's going to be a currency. Watch. Japan's gonna lead the charge with cat girls and school girls and plane girls and boat girls.
But that's
and
the thing. It's
girls.
Like it's you know, it should never be a currency. And you know, if you're not into it, and there's a lot of people who are just not into that, it doesn't make their opinions or their passions any less valid. They're just as valid as mine.
So is there a time in your life, let's flip this around. Is there a time in your life that you found yourself living up to a stereotype and hated yourself for it?
All the time.
I hate to say this, but I'm black, so I think I do that a lot. I mean, I changed my
icon. You're a black anime fan, so how much do you like Dragon Ball?
Oh, God, I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, but it's evil and racist when I say it.
I was about to say, hey, Jason, how'd you hurt your knee?
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. And what's really funny is I just changed my icon on PSN to a slice of watermelon.
I know. I wanted to say something, but it was going to come across weird.
That's why
but
I did it.
Watermelon's good. I mean, like, seriously. Like, why? It's good.
That's a hot sauce and fried chicken round.
Fried chicken is good too.
So let me tell you mine. There's an old skit they used to do on Mad TV years ago where they would play these really, really bad. They were like those. It was a dating service for singles where they would play like the tape as a commercial for this person looking for a date, and the dating service was called Lowered Expectations. So these were like Lowered Expectations, and these were all like the worst people ever. But they get I can't think of his name, the guy that does the voice of Hermes Conrad,
Maurice Lamar.
The other one. Anyway, so they get that guy to come on, and he's like, hi. And for the sake of argument, let's call him Fred, because I don't remember the name of the character. Hi, my name's Fred, and I like Dungeons and Dragons.
Phil Lamar.
I like Dungeons and Dragons and Vampire Bloodlines and World War II German airplanes and war history. And one day I hope to grow up to be a soldier, but right now I need a date. It's like, wow, this entire thing is describing me at 17, and I am really offended by this. And it kind of hurt. It was kind of close to the bone.
It was totally you.
Yeah, it was totally me.
Yeah.
But every now and then, pretty much this entire podcast, I find myself getting into these rage-filled arguments and then going, God damn it, I'm a geek. Oh, well.
Yeah.
A geek I am.
Yeah, yeah. No, there are a lot of stereotypes that I fall into. I can't think of any right now that anger me, although I have had many a time where, you know, the whole potato thing comes up a lot.
Huh.
My family's from Ireland, and
oh right,
how much time can I go without eating a potato?
Well, that's just racist stereotype. Yeah. That's not.
Well, I mean, you're gonna
not a geek.
I mean, you're gonna get the potatoes, and you're gonna get whiskey, right?
Racist.
I like rye whiskey.
Now you see, this is the whole thing that we're gonna have to edit out. Because he can go ahead and put on a brogue and talk about potatoes and whiskey. But if I went and said something about Massa getting you some fried chicken, all of a sudden, I'm the one getting beat up and yelled at.
You are, because the Irish are in a position. Well, Irish descendants in North America have a position of power.
And I could have been like, yes, a boss. I was Moose Quick, boss. Oh, God. Stereotypes, even now, they still make me laugh. I look at you, like, it's funny, what's really funny is that when I was talking on my little rant driving to work today, I actually brought up the fact that, you know, people worry so much about offending other people, but yet they box people into these stereotypes that are actually quite, you know, offensive. And one of the things I miss and I wish that was still going on was that people like Dave Chappelle and people like Paul Mooney and people like Key and Peele bring these stereotypes and these racist things and these xenophobic things to light in a comedic fashion and take the edge off. I mean,
but at the same time, they also kind of perpetuate them.
Very
and
true.
I think that's where they have a hard time.
And that's why Dave Chappelle quit the show, because he felt that he was getting too close to that edge of, you know, highlighting versus mocking. And it goes back even further than that. I mean, look at Richard Pryor and all his stuff. Yeah. And
comedy's just not the same anymore.
I just thought of a stereotype, a geek stereotype that I totally fall into all the time.
Sure.
The, well, actually... stereotype, because no matter what you say about a geek topic, there's going to be some geek out there knows that you're wrong and wants to tell you exactly why you're wrong or what specific
that's
details
the
are.
The entire point of this podcast.
that's all we do.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's why you guys like Jen more than me, because I'll be talking about podcasts. She goes, "Well, actually, no, that's not how it happens."
We love when Jen will actually is you.
And I love that Jen can normally do it in under like 5 words and just shut you up completely.
Or in person when she just does it with her eyes.
Right.
Well, I'm her antagonist. Text your antagonist.
True.
It's fine. I'm surprised she hasn't chimed in with all the snow bunny and igloo stereotypes for those folks from Alaska.
Oh yeah, Jen, what are the Alaskan? Well, I'm curious how many Alaskan stereotypes match the Canadian ones, because there's definitely the igloos, right?
We only build igloos to protect ourselves from polar bears and flying hockey pucks.
All right, what were you gonna say, Jen?
We don't protect ourselves from polar bears; we wrestle with them.
There you go. That's the difference.
There is that. Yes, indeed.
And eat seal and whale blubber and
but
and...
those are true.
We have pet beavers to protect us.
Beavers are vicious.
We don't have beavers.
Beavers are vicious. Have you not seen Zombievers, that really bad B movie that's pretty great?
No, I haven't. Jeez, what a surprise.
It was a bad movie, but it was so good.
So it
really is. It's really
we have a viewer.
We do have a viewer.
Hi, viewer.
I was going to take a guess who our viewer is.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Why are you awake?
He's in the UK.
It's normal daytime for him.
Oh, well, okay, that works.
Shane, we love you.
We do love Shane. And yeah, so Shane does live up to the stereotype of the superfan, and we love him for it, because he is viewing every podcast he possibly can.
It's fun. I like that. It's super great.
That's a great thing to have.
That's loyalty.
Yeah.
You should check out my podcast. I just put out an interview I did with Aaron Dismuk today, where he talks about the down for anything waifu.
Okay.
I need to know more.
And you're upset about anime stereotyping.
Dude, There's only a handful of jokes from my podcast that I find hilarious still to this day after 4 years. Chicken and spoilers, obviously.
I knew you were going to say that one.
The I'm selling brooms, which is actually a deep cut because no one knows about that joke but me and Jen.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
We did the interview with Richard Epcar where we got the bumper for you guys.
Oh, where he says that he loves me.
Yes, he does.
so
and
jealous.
They were so
you
want to
be
exhausted.
Loved by Richard Epcar.
Dude, they were with that baritone of his. They were so tired and exhausted that when they were trying to do the bumpers, they kept flubbing over them. And Richard Epcar started trolling his wife, and it was the funniest thing, because he goes, you know, he has that baritone and it's, you know, I'm Richard Epcar. But then he goes, I'm Alan Stern, and I'm here to sell you some brooms.
Why did we not hear that?
Did we not record that?
Yeah, we did, but it's, oh God, I lost it. It was one of the, me and Jen were dying because she was trying to do this bumper for us, and every time she did it, he'd be like, I'm selling you brooms. And it was so funny. Oh God, it was so good.
Nutty.
It was so, so good.
You were there for the recording when they did the episode of Epic with the girl from
Anna
Lost.
Silk.
With Anna Silk from Lost Girl.
Yeah.
So the opening skit to the episode was that they were going to get her to come in character for the opening skit. And it's like, The actress, before making it big on Lost Girl, had been in a Nicorette ad as a short-tempered stewardess who was Nick-fitting, who took a piece of gum and therefore felt better. So they're like, oh yeah, so we got Anna Silk to come in character. What, as her character from Lost Girl? No, as the short-tempered stewardess. And then she flies into the studio and just loses her brain on everyone in the room.
It was so good. It was really, really good. She did such a great performance, and it was especially good for us in the way that the studios were set up. Is there were two studios, the recording studio, and then because there were so many of us on the panel, we went into the studio that we normally put musicians in. So there's a big window in between, and so in the recording studio, you've got Mark Cabot, who runs, the producer of Epic, and Anna, and she's acting everything out, and he's just sitting there cringing, trying to not get hit. And it was pretty funny, and we're all just sitting there watching and laughing. I feel they should do that
with everybody. Like, I feel like next time I get to see Richard Epcar, because I'm pretty sure I'll see him at some point soon, it's just when I get another interview with him, just have him to be one of his characters from a soap opera.
There you go. That'd be great. But lightning round. Any last things about fan stereotypes that we want to just go away? Any fan stereotypes that you feel like you live up to? And, you know, anything you want to say about the topic before we wrap up, because we're nearing on 4 a.m.? Jason.
Yes, I actually just thought of this as we were talking. I had this experience just last AFO, because I hang out with a group of girls who cosplay, and you know, I'm kind of like the big brother, the protector, because again, guys don't know how to behave, and they do all kinds of cosplay. Well, they didn't have our normal photographer because Sam didn't come that year, so I had to do the photography, which is fine because I've always wanted to get into it. I got a camera for it and such, but I felt really bad. And I feel like I propagated this stereotype on myself, is that I'm taking these pictures and I'm like, I hope it don't come off as a creep. I hope it don't come off as a creep. Oh God. And it's just,
you don't want to be that guy that it's like, oh God, yeah, he only wants to photograph the hot girls.
Yes. Yes. Oh God. Yes.
I don't want to come off as a creep, but you need to show more titty. Thank you. Bend over a little more.
Stop. As long as you don't like hover hand. Oh, that was so weird.
Dude, to quote We Hate Movies, a podcast I listen to, where they do a character called Martin Cinemax III. Now I want to see more breasts. All the breasts.
All right. Enough of that. I'm getting really grossed out now.
But that's another one.
Yeah.
That's another stereotype that we need to discuss. The fact that all of us geeks are will behave inappropriately. That we are all socially awkward hand grenades who do not know how to behave in public. And
that needs to be on a shirt, by the way. I'm a socially awkward
hand grenade. Absolutely. And the fact that I need that shirt now. The fact that if we were not social creatures, why would we as geeks stereotypically spend most of our times A, on forums discussing our fandoms, B, playing social games like Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering and other social card games and dice games, or, you know, going to conventions? So if we are such socially awkward creatures, why do we spend so much of our time being social?
Yeah, if we were so socially awkward, why do video games all have a chat feature?
Yeah, and I mean, and here's the deal, man. You know, one of my nearest and dearest friends who I've known for the longest time, and a big shout out to her, Brittany. She had a baby a few months back.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, Brittany's baby.
I met her when I was around 11 or 12, when I used to go to Books A Million to play Pokemon cards back when they first came over from Japan. And I literally met her and her two brothers.
She was a baby when they came out.
I was.
Does that make you feel old?
I was. I was a wee babe.
Mm-hmm. So, Jen, any stereotypes you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Not all Trekkies live in their parents' basements.
This is true. Some of them live in their attics.
Indeed, I'm in an attic right now.
No, I mean, like, I haven't lived in my mom's house since I was 19 years old, and I am one of the biggest Trekkies you'll ever meet.
Yeah, this whole idea that the only reason we got into the fandom of any kind because we didn't have anything else better to do.
Yeah.
Well, I could have gotten a job, but I'll watch some Star Trek instead. You know? Yeah.
Like that doesn't, you know, I mean, yeah, there are the people that will shirk responsibilities and just explore entertainment. That's not confined to geeky topics at all. And most of us have like real lives and real jobs, and we explore this entertainment because we like it, because it is good.
No, as a matter of fact, I can think of one low life
unnecessary censorship.
Here's Fan who still lives with his mother, well into his 40s.
That's hitting below the belt. And we're very that lucky that like, he doesn't listen, and hopefully like, no one will share that information.
Dude, that sounds like the deepest cut. The deepest cut.
He says it because he loves. Wow. that was harsh. Jeez.
But it's definitely. I feel like it's definitely gotten to the point where I think a lot of these stereotypes are being propagated because the norms, as some people call it, quote unquote, are outnumbered, baby. The top grossing movies in theaters now
are all
ours, baby.
Yeah. The geeks are making the movies because that's what they want to see. And I think really it comes from a place of I'm miserable. I don't like seeing them happy. So I'm going to create a reason that they appear to be happy.
One of the first times I went on air with CHSR, our old radio station in Fredericton, New Brunswick, we were having a lunchtime discussion on fandoms. And I made a comment that there is no difference between someone who wears a Star Trek jersey and someone who wears a Detroit Red Wings jersey. That, you know, a fandom is a fandom, whether it's a sports team, a TV show, a musical style, an artist of any kind. It's if you're a fan of that, you're a fan of that, and that's where your passion lies. And that a geek is just a person who is unashamed of their passion, and a jock is just a geek of another stripe. And I got in trouble at work. I had people coming up to me after listening to the show, and they're like, of course there's a difference. You're a geek. I'm an actual person, and I'm a Red Wings fan.
Yeah, it's not acceptable to wear a Star Trek jersey to work, but it's totally acceptable to wear a Red Wings jersey. Okay.
And I'm not picking on the Red Wings here. I am. They suck. But
no, he's picking on a Red Wings fan here.
Right. So go Habs, go.
We still love you, Scott Sigler.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, Scott. You got problems. the whole Lions thing should give that one away. But my
he's
point.
Loyal.
Right. My loyal and wrong. my point. Cleveland. My point here is
that's his argument. Cleveland. Moving on.
My point here is that it doesn't matter what you're passionate about. Be passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I think that we as geeks of any stripe, whether you're a cooking geek, a knitting geek, a sports geek, a sci-fi geek, whatever, just be accepting of other people's passions and understand that you have chosen to dedicate, you know, a large chunk of your life towards an obscure video game genre. Maybe somebody else hasn't, but that doesn't make their experience invalid or yours invalid. And maybe we can all get together by just realizing that we're all passionate about something and we could all learn something from each other. And that, hey, maybe, you know what? Maybe if you spent time listening to somebody, you might learn to realize that the Detroit Lions are not an awful football team, even though they are. And you may learn to realize that there's a TV show out there you haven't watched yet that's actually pretty good that you might want to watch.
So you're going through this rant and you're like, maybe you're a knitting fan or you're a sports fan or you're a cooking fan. And I'm thinking, there's an anime for each of those things.
Do you like basketball?
Yeah.
Do you like swimming? Do you like
ice skating?
Do you like gay ice skating?
Kurokoda basket, free Yuri on Ice, where they make out.
But
there's even a bicycle racing one, Yaba Peta.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's in the same regard of the people that try to dismiss people's fandoms or passions are the same people that you'll show them a video or Somebody will do something like, I built a entire model of the Babylon 5 out of toothpicks, and it looks really impressive. And someone says, wow, someone has a lot of time on their hands. If I could never hear that statement again,
I
would be a happy person, because
I wish I had that much time in my life. Well, you do, but you waste it doing other things. So go away.
We each prioritize what we spend our time on. It's like when people say, I'd like to play video games, but I don't have the time. Sure you do. You're spending that time doing something else. Does everyone have the same exact amount of free time? No, but we all have time, and we put certain things in priority. And yeah, it's like when what Mer Lafferty's always saying, and I should be writing, it's, you know, how do I find the time to writing? You cut something else out. You prioritize it. If you don't prioritize it, then it's not a priority and it's not that important to you. And it's the same thing with fandom. So you don't get to decide where someone's time should be spent.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here thinking, and there's one thing we've kind of avoided, or maybe you guys haven't run into that yet, but whenever I've told people that I'm a podcaster, like even my family has done this to me, but they're like, why don't you try to make money off of it?
Yeah, again, like money is the only reason anything is valid.
Yeah, and I tell them, I say, do you guys not know what has happened for me for the last 4 years that I've done this podcast? I've not paid a dime outside of my hotel room and gas money to go to a convention. I got to meet Richard Epcar, a guy who I've been who I'd been listening to since I was about, 8 years old, be Bateau on Ghost in the Shell. I got to meet Jason Narvi and Pauly Schreier, go to their hotel room and interview them. That's Bulk and Skull for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Dude, and you got to hang out and drink with Nutty and Tech.
I've met a New York Times best-selling author in Scott Sigler.
Nutty and Tech.
Indeed, I'm going to see your husband. By the way, he's going to be my boy toy. I'm going to dress up like a jet plane schoolgirl.
I need that.
Have the stones.
Okay, so we're wrapping up. But yes, exactly. Like trying to tell people what they should spend their time, their money, all of these things, that can just go out the window. Is there anything else people want to throw out there before we wrap things up? Because we're over time.
Everybody, you know what? Just learn to accept other people's fandoms. Yep. Learn a little bit about them. And you know what? You may find something else that you like. I'm a casual anime fan, but I really appreciate Jason and Jen and their knowledge of this genre. So when they beat me over the head with a chair and tell me that you've really got to watch Food Wars because it's really good, it ends up being really good.
Yeah. They watch bad anime, so you don't have to. That should be the slogan for your podcast. We watch bad movies so you don't have to, and we watch bad anime so you don't have to. I love it.
I've actually got logos in the works for each one of the sub shows. So
awesome. So tell us, where can people find this wonderful podcast we've been talking about? Where can we find Talk Nerdy to Me, and where can we find both you, Jen, and Jason?
Go ahead, Jen. Tell them your look, contact information first. Got to take deep breaths for this.
As long as you tell them the Talk Nerdy to Me part, it's fine.
Of course, I will. I'm going to get you to do it one day. You will. You will do it.
Yeah, I'm sure. You can find me on Facebook, Jen Hansen. Got it.
She also has a Twitter called at So Be a Freak. She has
thing.
Say again.
I said I haven't used that in forever.
Yeah, no, she never responds to it. So just find her on Facebook. You can also find her snuggled up with a kitty under the covers, getting ready for bed right now. I can hear it.
Yep.
And the podcast.
And okay, here we go. You can always find us on our website at talknerdytomepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdytome. And of course, you can find us on the Twitter at @NerdyToMePodcast. And you can find me at JG_Banks on Twitter. I'm on Tumblr and I'm on Instagram. I'm on all the social medias, all of them. I need them all. I'm super greedy. I need them all.
Wow, he's still hopped up from work. And Tech, anything you want to plug?
You can find my lessons in trying to learn Aikido the hard way at upsidedownandflying.tumblr.com, and anything else you can, of course, find me at nimlast.org.
Awesome. You are going to do that as a podcast if I have to fly to Canada and stick the mic in your rectal area.
That's not a good sounding podcast. You're not going to get good audio quality that way.
Why does it sound muffled?
And you can find, you'll get all the links to Nimlast Studios and the Nutty Bites podcast. And you can go to Patreon and you can help support this podcast. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Goodbye.
Bye. Adios.
Bye-bye.
I was there at the dawn of the third age of podcasting. It began in the year 2014 with the start of Down Below, a Babylon 5 intro cast located at downbelowpodcast.com. It was a port of call for geeks, nerds, podcasters, and wanderers from all over the world. It could be a silly place, but it was our last best hope for intelligent analysis. Under the leadership of two veterans and two new viewers, Down Below was a dream-given form, a place where everyone could come together to discuss the show with mutual respect. Down Below was the first of the Babylon 5 intro cast. Listen to a story on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or downbelowpodcast.com.
And?
I'm Jen.
And?
Technical difficulties.
Jason, this is your cue.
Did he fall asleep?
Oh, if he fell asleep on us already. Jason. Jason. Jason, 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 Jason.
I heard something on his end. Or not.
Jason. Dropped call.
Hopefully he will reconnect. And we'll be able to do this all over again. Hi, YouTube. You caught us with our pants down. That's why we're not on camera, because we have no pants.
It is pajama time.
It is pajama time, actually. That's why, because I'm in my jammies.
I'm wearing pajama pants that have stormtroopers and Santa hats on them.
My owls have little scarves. Oh, did we get a Jason back?
I feel like this is because Google doesn't want me to drink a beer at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Google's like, these are poor life choices. You might want to rethink this.
All right.
All right. So wait.
Wait, we're drinking? I got to get a drink.
Oh, jeez.
Thank you, baby.
Go get a drink.
Yay.
While Jason introduced himself.
Yay.
And makes editing difficult for me.
I say just leave it all in.
So I'm going to say and then Jen's going to introduce herself, and then Jason's going to introduce himself after that. So,
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlast Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlast.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.